been murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Ravens Nation, to The Call. It's a Baltimore Ravens podcast. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, and Overcast. How's it feel, everybody?
Overcast. I have to say it every time.
Two wins! We got two! How about that? And you got two guys that are going to talk about the Ravens here. Me and my buddy Josh. What's going on, man?
Brandon, we finally won! Oh my god, I love it.
This is a crazy feeling, but we're so excited just for a win! Here we are!
And it's our second win of the year. And what's really weird about that, man, it was November 1st. We got our second win of the year in November. That's ew.
It's weird. It's definitely weird.
And our first, not only our first win, but our first home win. Ew.
It's been a crazy year. It's been a crazy season to be a Ravens fan. But hopefully you guys are sticking it out with us because, I mean, you talk to somebody like Justin Tucker. He's expecting us to go 8-0 in the next couple games. Before we jump into that, let's just talk about that, Josh. It's the bye week, so we got some games coming up. This week's a restful time for the team. Looking forward, what do you see this team doing and to end this season? Is this, you know, you and I were talking, season's over a couple weeks ago. Justin Tucker is predicting 8-0 for the rest of the year. What are the chances here that the Ravens come out with a winning season?
I mean, the chances are pretty slim. I love the enthusiasm. I mean, I'm jumping on board. It's one game at a time. They got to dig. But if you look at the big picture, they're believing in that because they're holding on something, especially with the pregame speech that Ray Lewis had. I don't know if anybody's seen it, but it was electric. There's a lot to talk about here. But Ray Lewis fired him up. But it's about, you know, what Ray Lewis said is fighting your fight and fight your fight. And that was his war cry. And the Ravens know how to fight. I mean, they overcome adversity. They've overcome a lot of injuries along their tenure here in Baltimore in the last 20 years. And we can cover all that. But it comes out of this. You take it one game at a time, yeah, it's one win. And it's funny how, and I'm not bashing it in any way. You know, I'm not bashing the mentality that one win and we're already talking, oh, we can do it. But here's what the really, really funny thing is, man. If you look at the AFC, it's god-awful because you already know you got your three division winners right now and undefeated records. Bengals, Patriots, and Broncos are all winning their divisions, and they're all undefeated, okay? And Broncos and Patriots do play each other, and I don't know if the Bengals play either one of those teams yet. I don't know. But with that being said, that means there's three spots up for grabs. We already know what happened with, and there's a lot of injuries we need to cover this weekend. We have a lot to get to. But if you look what happened on Monday Night Football, the Colts lost. Brandon, the Colts are 3-6. I think 3-6 or three. No, they're 3-5. And they're either 3-5 or 3-6. They basically only won like three games. And they're in first place tied. That's how bad it is. The Ravens were in the NFC South. They'd be a game out of first place. Isn't that weird?
It's very weird.
The whole division's upside down. I mean, the Titans are 1-6, just fired their head coach, and they're two games out of first place. That's just atrocious to me. So, I mean, there's going to be a losing record. 6-10 or 7-9 might get them in the playoffs. But besides the point, there's three spots up for grabs, and the Ravens have all their home games backloaded. They're historically good at home. Mm-hmm. Granted, they're 1-2 this year. They lost snake bit games here at home against both two divisional foes. It was weird how they had it, but this win does spark that mentality that, hey, you know, we win and we rattle it off. I mean, it was already being said that no team started 1-6 and made the playoffs. They were showing a graphic today on the teams that won all of their games in November, December. The Chargers were one of them that one year where they went on some insane run, and they basically won every game for the last 2 months and made the playoffs. I forget their starting record, but it was bad. It wasn't as bad as ours, but it was bad. Of course, the Patriots being undefeated, the Broncos have done it. So other teams have done it. And And the Ravens even did it. They peeled off 7 straight wins after starting 5-4 in the year 2000 to win the Super Bowl. So teams, as bad as we've been losing lately in a streak, you can easily turn around and go on a winning streak. It's a week-to-week league, and the way they've been playing, their winning percentage, and people are talking like that because of the winning percentage of the teams we have left. They're all losing records. They all have injuries. They're all snake bit. They're all having bad seasons where they come here and – Brandon, you're going to hear me fired up, man. I had an absolute blast at the game on Sunday, and I wanted to find the clip, and I really couldn't find it for us for the show. But if you didn't hear it, go on Ravens.com or the Ravens mobile app, Brandon, and anybody listening, all of our listeners out there, pull up that Harbaugh clip that he commended the fans. He said the atmosphere was electric, and he's never seen something like that. We were 1-6, and we didn't give a crap. We didn't care. The stadium, actually, they came out with the attendance. It was 70,000 plus. I was actually impressed with Ravens Nation. I wish I could high-five every single fan that went to the game. Not saying I'm only at 70,000, but and I know if it had held a million, we would have a million Ravens fans there. But the people who went, I want to commend you on not selling your tickets, not giving them up, not giving up on this team. And actually, our section was full. We were loud. I had no voice. I finally got it back yesterday. I don't know where to start, but the atmosphere, man, was electric, and it created that home feel that we could make a run with all of our home games, that the fans like that show up and create that atmosphere. Who's to say we can't win 3-4 in a row, especially with the bye week coming up and 2 in a row back at home, and then we have 3 more in a row in December. So if we even lose one more game out, who's to say 9-7 or 10-6 make the playoffs in AFC? It's just a thought. It's fun to think about. Let's take it one day at a time and see what happens coming at the end of the year and where we stand. We'll see, but it was fun to watch, man. It was fun to watch.
Yeah, you know, that's a very interesting thing. You and I were talking about it last week. What kind of fans are going to show up? Are they going to be, you know, booing the Ravens if a bad play goes by? Is it going to not be a sold-out crowd? What's it going to be? And it seems as if Ravens Nation did come out for the best part of the game, the best side of the game, and they supported the Ravens like they should. So it seems as if that was a good crowd to go. So let's go over this game here. It was the Ravens Chargers. The Ravens were able to come out on top 29-26. Big story out of this game, besides just a win and knowing how good Justin Tucker is, injuries. Of course, we're going to start off talking about this Steve Smith Sr. injury. The second I saw him go down, I knew it was something bad. I didn't know it was going to be an Achilles injury. I thought it was something to do with his back. But, man, that guy was in pain. You could tell he didn't want anyone to see his face. He covered his face up with a towel because he didn't want to see people. He didn't want people to see him in pain. But what does this mean for the Ravens and the wide receiver core that's already so bad and hurting so much? Steve Smith was like the shining light of this wide receiver core, and now he's gone. What does this do to the team?
It's a huge loss, man. I mean, how is it that the Ravens lose both of their leaders? Not to discount Joe Flacco's leader. He is the leader, but especially Steve Smith and being his supposedly last year. How is it losing Terrell Suggs on the same injury on defense, but then losing Steve Smith on the same injury on offense in the same season? It's I don't know what it is with us and Achilles, but Achilles don't like us. That Greek mythology, I hate Greek mythology. I love Greek mythology, but Achilles, he's got to go. He's killing us, man.
If you ever saw that movie Troy, it was just terrible.
I love Troy.
I hated that movie.
In a backstory on that movie, it took me, I think, 10 times before I finally saw the movie, and I wish I can actually fast forward to the DVD and put it right there. There's a certain scene that when that movie, dude, I would always fall asleep no matter if it was during the day or night. There was a certain scene in that movie, and I would hit that point and just zonk out. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it was.
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of that movie. But yeah, here we go. Achilles, again, taking down one of our top guys. This sucks, man. This really sucks. If Joe Flacco felt felt like he didn't have the right tools before, now he doesn't even have a toolbox to go to. He's got nothing. You know, it's Joe and Justin Forsett, and they're going to run the ball the entire time because he can't trust any of these other dudes.
Well, that's not necessarily true, Brandon, and I'll tell you why. And talking with some of the season ticket holders around me on Sunday, we kind of put it in perspective. It sucks, but he actually said there is always a silver lining and a positive outlook. And Ray Lewis probably agree. We know him. But What Flacco had to do, and by the way, Steve Smith made a beast of a catch down on that one. It was nuts. He just went up for it. He's beast. And it just sucks to lose him. And the speculation is already, is he going to play another year? We'll get to that too. This could be a blessing in disguise for Ravens, because as you see, after he went down, we were able to move the ball. Aiken stepped up, made some plays.
Mm-hmm.
Nick Boyle was making plays. Crockett Gilmore was a beast. He was a bruiser. And Justin Forsett made some timely plays too. So, and what the guys behind me were saying and we were discussing is now Flacco has to distribute the ball, so he can't kill one guy. So this opens up the offense a little bit more because of how bad the receiving play has been this year and how lacking it's been and the injuries with Campanaro and Perryman being out. Flacco's only going, oh, I only got Smith and that's it. So now he's got to have confidence in going these guys. So now Kamar Aiken's going to be a number one. So that's why it could bode well for the Ravens and the way Trestman's offense is, because they're not keying on that one guy. So it could help us out, because these off defenses might be like, oh, Kamar Aiken, we're not scared of him. Kamar Aiken might put up 150 in a touchdown because someone's got to catch the ball on the Ravens team. And yeah, they've been slacking lately, but he turned in an okay performance. If I were to give out game balls, I would give one to Aiken because he stepped up in the wake of Steve's absence. And I have to say, it was impressive.
Well, like, I understand that Joe Flacco's got to distribute the ball. He's got to give it to other people now. He can't count on Steve Smith as much as you would like. But, I mean, can you, you know, Kamar Aiken, you know, towards the end of last season, he's had a little few shots of brilliance here this year, but he's not very consistent. Darren Waller, he's gone. You know, he's on injury reserve now. And I thought him and Joe were going to get along very well just because both are so tall. He was going to be able to get those nice catches up in the air that, like, Steve Smith would have to jump up and catch from Joe. But he's out. Marlon Brown, a guy that we've talked about a zillion times on this show, he's showing he's not really fit for the NFL this season. I don't know what happened to him from 2 years ago, but he's just not cutting it. I will say this, though, about Givens. You know, he's not the greatest player in the world, but the dude definitely has some heart, and he is showing that he can catch the ball and he can make those kind of big catches when need be. I mean, he's not going to be my first choice as a wide receiver, but for the most part, Givens, I think he's a good addition to an already hurting wide receiver core.
He is, man. We're already depleted. And speaking of that, the Ravens are holding open tryouts for receivers, and Hakeem Nicks is one of them. So we're definitely trying to bring in some reinforcements because we do need help, man. Our team is as battered as any Warrior team has been, man. We've injury after injury after injury, and we keep trying, man. We're keep plugging away, and I have to say it was a total team effort. As bad as some of the play was, I have to say they pulled together and they just rallied together as a team win. I can't say enough. And some of the plays are magnified. Joe Flacco, again, he played great. Again, here it is. I mean, look how weak to weak we are. You know, everybody was all the so-called quote-unquote Flacco haters were out when he threw the pick at the end of the game, and I had to set the record straight on that. Now he basically played a great game. You know, no turnovers, didn't throw off his back foot, didn't throw any picks, didn't throw any near picks, and played a great game, and we won the game. He had, I actually said a bold stat at the stands when I was sitting there before the game started. I said, Joe Flacco's going to have 350 yards and two touchdowns. He had 315, ran for one, and threw for one. So not too far off, but he kept pace. And I even said this, the way this is going to be, we're going to give up some points. We're going to have to score and keep pace with the Chargers, which we did. And it was a back-and-forth battle, and each team didn't really go up by no more than one score. So, again, we didn't give blood. And then how many games have we lost by one possession? And then we won both of our games by a virtual of like 3 points. So, yeah. You know, we beat the Steelers by three on a Justin Tucker kick. And then how about another game winning field goal on Justin Tucker? And how about that dance at the end, man? Justin Tucker's awesome, isn't he?
Justin Tucker, you said it was from that Drake video, which I thought everyone was making fun of Drake in the on the internet the last 2 weeks. But apparently,
that's what I thought.
Got a fan in Tucker, I guess. And I don't know if you saw this on social media, but it's the oddest thing. So when the Baltimore Sun posts a picture or posts a story on their Facebook page, it'll be a picture of what's going on in the story, but it's usually like a really zoomed in picture. And
right.
This time around, when they were talking about Tucker winning the game, it's just a giant photo of Justin Tucker's crotch after he did the kick. And I mean, it's social media, but like you can make out all the stuff that's going on down there. And I don't think the Sun meant to do it or knew they did it, but that was every single comment was talking about what they were seeing in Justin Tucker's. I guess he was pretty excited about that kick, but it was pretty gross. but yeah,
that's funny. I didn't even know that.
I'm not going to send you the link or anything, but
I'm good. Yeah. I'm good. I like watching the dance. That's about it.
Yeah,
I'm
but Tucker's got some
fiance
moves.
Don't mind.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Tucker's got some moves, and you know, dude's great to have on our team. And again, I brought this up, I think, during the Steelers week thing. Do you remember you and I were doing a show? We were in the Chipotle parking lot, and we were saying how, with Tressman coming in and Flacco and him getting along, we might not need Tucker as much because we'll be able to get into that end zone. We'll be able to get, because the year before.
How far off were we?
I was just saying, like, it'll be, we don't know what Tressman's going to be like. So potentially, Tucker might not be as necessary because Joe Flacco and the team's going to be in the end zone as much as possible. Now we see how much we need Justin Tucker and how, like, I was never taking away any talent from him. I was just saying he may not be as important because of what the offense could do. But obviously, Justin Tucker is necessary on this team. He's a big name on this team. We definitely need him as much as possible. But anyway, so let's go back. Let's talk about it. You said that they're bringing wide receivers in during this bye week, testing some guys out, seeing what they can do. One of our guys, Will Davis, tweeted out that Chuck Jacobs has been signed to be a wide receiver. So they seem that like the Ravens are already making some decisions. But there's two big names out there, two veteran guys that are out there in the wide receiver world, Wes Welker and Jacoby Jones. Jacoby Jones just got released by the Chargers today. So do you see any potential of the Ravens bringing back Jacoby Jones or trying out Wes Welker? Or do you think they want these undrafted, these young guys? I kind of think, like, you lose a veteran, maybe bringing in a veteran wouldn't be the worst idea.
It wouldn't. I mean, as far as Jacoby Jones, I know it's very fun to talk about. I don't think the Ravens will have him back. Wes Welker, I say no just for the fact that I think he has the stain for the city, for the team. I don't think he really likes it here just by his, you know, interaction with us. And I know it was with the Patriots and all that, but I just don't think so. I mean, I think Wes Welker's way past us trying to even call him up. I mean, I at this point, I would take Terrell Owens over that. But
what about
respect,
Randy Moss?
But, yeah, exactly. And even Terrell Owens said he would play for the Cowboys this year when Dez went down. So, I think, like I said, I think we're just going to hire the most the reinforcements that we can, and the it's kind of like the same play, right price, right player for the draft, you know, and all that for signing players. I think right now it's going to be the best player available is going to help our team and with these open tryouts accordingly. I really can't wait to see how it's going to take shape, and I think it's going to bode well for our team. I really do.
All right, so now getting back on Steve Smith here, I've been saying it for weeks. I don't think he's going to retire this year. Now with this injury going down, of course it's all up to him what he does, but I don't see the guy wanting to go out the way he is going out. I definitely see him playing on this team again next year.
Yep, absolutely.
So tell me, what do you think? Do you think he's back, or do you think he's calling it quits?
No, I think he's back, and here's why. I don't think he's going to go out like that. The image with a towel over his head, true warrior wouldn't do that. He schedules a surgery. Oh, he already scheduled surgery, right? You
right.
Knew that?
Yeah.
Right, so he scheduled surgery pretty quick, which he's going to rehab already. I think what's going to happen is, if yes, my answer, the honest answer is yes, but I base that upon he's going to make the decision based on talking with his family. He's going to take, obviously, the whole time to recover, especially seeing what we do as far as towards the end of the year, how many wins and losses we incur, who we end up signing, what draft position we do. He may not even make that decision until July or August of next year, going into training camp and preseason of 2016 season. Heck, it might not be until week one. Who knows? He's earned that right. He's a future All-Famer. He even passed Barry Sanders this weekend for all-purpose yards in the NFL. Commend on job well done. I think he also passed Chris Carter on the list and moving the top 10. So he's going to be a future Lock Hall of Famer. I know he's going to be visiting Bel Air later this month. I don't know with his Achilles surgery, because I was thinking about attending that event. I don't know if it's still going on because of his surgery and his healing process. I don't know how he's going to be handling that, but because that signing is 11 days after his surgery. So I'll have to communicate with everybody and post that on our page, call Facebook page. But besides the point, I think he's coming back because I think he's having never said it himself, but already speculating sources close to him say he's already contemplating that. The Ravens already talked to him saying they would have him back. And I think as a true warrior and the way he is competitive and fire, if it was Bolden, I say yeah. If it was Steve Smith, I say yeah. Obviously, if you know Pitta's injury is different. I think Pitta's probably going to call it a career if you're going to compare injuries. But I think Steve Smith goes it a one more go, and I think we'll both get Suggs and Steve next year for one last ride.
Yeah, I think he'll definitely be back. Now, that doesn't give the Ravens any excuse to not pick up a couple more wide receivers because it can't just be Steve Smith next year like it is this year. But we'll see what happens. And I wish I think both of us wish Steve Smith a very speedy recovery, and we want to see him back on the field. Or even if this is his last ride, it's been a great time having him on the Ravens, Ravens team. So he's been here a year and a half, and look at the impact he's already made on this team. It's been crazy, and he's been a great addition. But back to this game, another injury, a big one, Jeremy Zuda. He got hurt during this game. He started every single game for the last 2 years, and he's our starting center.
Yep.
But, again, this is another big loss. We kind of saw what happened at the end of the game with Zuda out of the game. So what do you think this injury – we don't know what's going to happen, if he's going to play in 2 weeks or not, but what does this loss mean if he's not back for the next game? What does this mean for the Ravens?
Well, this loss means for the Ravens – I mean, you've seen what happened is John Urschel got in the game. It about cost us a game with a bad snap.
So two or three bad snaps, but yeah, Joe only lost one.
I looked at my buddy with the most ridiculous, gnarly look you've ever had, with the most disgusting look. I was like, if we lose this game because of that, I'm done. I thought I broke my Ray Lewis helmet because I threw it under my seat. And I'm like, really? You get in position, you're going to do that. Like, it was just like this team. Like, it was just like, this is how bad the year's gone. We get in position to win, you're going to throw it on. It's just, yeah, it was bad. But we recovered. Forsett made a play. We're okay. We won the game. So it's besides the point. But, yeah, and you can see the after effects. I mean, enough said. We need a center, let alone wide receivers. And they need to practice better on snapping the ball.
Yeah, because that I feel as if they're like, you go in. He was like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. All right, let's hope for the best here. But, yeah, so what did you think about the defensive side of the ball in this game? Obviously, there's still a lot of problems, but for the most part, I think that – they got their job done for more or less.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it was an okay performance. I'm not going to really go as far as saying, hey, they played a great game, because as you've seen, they put pressure on when it mattered. I mean, it was a fine line, because you can see they had the run at times. I mean, they started on a three and out, and then they had a three and out when it mattered. But in respect, they got to – I don't know if you saw this on TV, because obviously in person it was great, but it was that big play where Malcolm Floyd caught the big touchdown, and they converged on Rivers where he got flattened, and they about had him, and he threw, and it was a one-on-one coverage, and Malcolm just ended up being turned loose in the backfield, and the coverage was horrible. But all in all – they played great. It wasn't – I didn't see any bad – now, of course, the refs aside with their bad calling, because I'll get to that in a minute, because I think I pretty much lost my mind in the stands with that happening. But they played a clean game. It wasn't good, but it was an improvement what I've seen over the recent weeks.
Yeah, you
and
know –
they need to keep that up.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's definitely an improvement. It seems –
it was an improvement. Yeah. I mean, they gave up some touchdowns, Brandon. I mean, the Keenan Allen catch was – it was a top-five play this weekend. So, I mean, you can't really fault them for that. But in regards to, you know, an overall game, I think the front seven stepped up. They put pressure when they needed to. And when they did put pressure, they were left on one-on-one coverages, and you can't complain about that. They didn't really go and prevent. The Chargers were pinned deep. They had a three and out, and I want to talk about that three and out when they had a pinned deep, because there was two safeties that were missed, and this is what I'm baffled about at the NFL, and they're putting a bad product out there and consistency. And I tweeted the NFL on Sunday is, how do the fans know the rules better than their own employees? Because Chris Johnson's progress was stopped. They didn't blow the whistle. Team, you know, Brandon Williams lets him go and he scores a touchdown. Then they're calling Melvin Gordon, who is on video supposedly running away to the left in the end zone from the defenders, and they're calling for progress stop, no safety. I don't know what gives, man, but I was beside myself, man. And even Harbaugh and some other calls, especially the Will Hill slam and the phantom pass interference call, Harbaugh was living on the sideline, and it was nuts.
Yeah, the refs have been just this entire season with every team have just been horrible. I don't know what is going on and why they're calling stuff that doesn't need to be called while they're letting other stuff get by. I don't understand. Like, is this like the dumb kids in ref school or something? Are these the guys that just like barely passed? I don't know. It's been really bad this entire year. But let's talk about one call that the refs didn't make and that a lot of people on the other side of the ball were ticked off with, that Asa Jackson special teams where he blocked one of the punts. The refs didn't call him for offsides, even though they went to the replays and said, look, nobody's moving. But he started off, he should have been called. But then you listen to, like, on 98 Rock, Keith Mills brought up the fact that Harbaugh told the refs, you got to watch the hands of the snapper because he's got this thing where he moves his hands and he's a lot longer throwing the ball back for it to be punted. So that's what Asa Jackson was watching, not everybody else moving. So they're saying if you watch with a keen eye, the refs got it right, but if you're looking at it from like a commentator's side of the ball or whatever, or even on a Chargers side, they weren't really happy with that non-call from Asa Jackson. But it's weird that something like that can be so small of something to notice. They make the right call, but then something, it seems blatant to us, they make the wrong call. It's very odd to be an NFL referee right now.
It is, man. I mean, they just don't do their jobs correctly, and I don't know what gives. And I don't know if they're being – I don't know how their training is, but it's a bad product on the field, and it's translating into, bad – and it's something that I wanted to bring up too. It's my personal opinion is they're becoming bigger than the game itself. Instead of being part of the game or calling the game and like I told my dad, I was like, they're not facilitating the game. Instead of being there to make sure things run smoothly, it's they're impacting the games to where the coaches are having conniption fits on the sideline. You're having players complaining, fans yelling BS in the stands and wanting to throw things on the field. And it's just like they're becoming a target where it's like they're becoming a circus part of the game where instead of enjoying the football game, you're more worried about what calls are they going to screw up today. So it's just they got to stop being bigger than the game is my personal opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about some of the good stuff you did bring up. You know, that great touchdown from Crockett Gilmore. Buck Allen looked good. This seems like this is a good spot to stop. It's a good time to have a bye week because a lot of the guys need some rest, and maybe they're finally coming into their own. And maybe some guys that are hurt might be able to come back after this bye week and after they've rested up. But there's not that many games left, you know. What is it? Eight games, I believe. Is it three? Yeah, looks like eight games left.
Yeah, we're 2-6, so we're at the halfway point right in the season, and our bye week's right at the halfway point, man. So we couldn't be at a perfect time. So hey, we go 2-6, and like I said, if we go, 8-0 to second half, who knows? I mean, who knows? But I mean, it's the halfway point in the season. I hate to say it. I mean, we're halfway over the 2015 season. We've won two games. It is what it is. But I have to commend. I mean, it was a blast. And how about Ray Lewis being in the game? I want to talk about that. He was the legend of the game. And no, he didn't come out of the tunnel doing his dance, but he stepped on the field right in the first quarter during a timeout. And the place erupted. He was on the field. And he was showing on the sidelines being animated. Well, I'm going to tell you this right now. If you haven't heard the speech of the pregame speech he spoke to the team, it was very inspirational. And I'm like, the dude, he's just focused in, man. And it's like, he should be a head coach. He's just so like, he just pulls everybody with him. You saw the speech, right, Brandon?
I saw the speech, but I'll let you finish. But before even the speech, I love the fact that he made an entrance with the marching band into the stadium.
I was
going to
say that. He stole my thunder. No, I'm kidding. But I'm glad you brought that up because I was laughing so hard. And he looked like he was having a ball. Like,
oh, yeah.
He doesn't come in a limo and in the gates. He's coming in with the band and the worst VPN, whatever it is, and somebody said that he needs to stop being part of the circus. He's all on retired. I might want to slap the guy across the face. But I'm like, the dude, he has a statue. He can do what he wants. He's like, he's the king of Baltimore as far as I'm concerned.
And I think it's kind of funny, you know, a lot of these guys, look at, you know, one of our favorites, one of these rookies, Max Williams, he's never got to experience a Ray Lewis locker room speech.
So that's right.
For him to be able to come in here and get that Ray Lewis speech and to feel...
Yeah, think about that.
Yeah. To feel like what the stadium's like with Ray Lewis on the sidelines, because he's such an inspiration for so many
Mosley.
People.
Mosley never heard it, too.
Yeah, there you go.
He was drafted in 2014.
Right. So a lot of these guys, they're experiencing Ray Lewis speech for the first time. So it's good for the players. It's good for the fans. I know the fans had to have been going crazy, with being able to see Ray again. And it makes you really think, like, since he's been gone, has anyone really filled that big of a leadership role? You know, Harbaugh is our coach, and he's a great guy and everything like that. But when Ray was here, he didn't have to do as much to inspire the team. You know, I kind of wish, even though Ray is doing great with his ESPN job, I really wish Ray could have stuck around with this team and been in some sort of coach mentor role in some way, because even him on the sidelines is good motivation for these guys. He's a legend in the sport. You know you're going to play your hardest for a guy who has that much respect for his colleagues. Really, it just shows you how much the city and how much the team and everybody misses Ray, and how much of an inspiration he was. He's still inspiring new players and the same team all these years after he retired.
Absolutely, man. And it was a transpiration. And one thing I wanted to provide, it's probably for viewers at home who didn't really probably see this. I don't know what they did or didn't show on TV. But it was in that portion of the fourth quarter when we basically were going back and forth with the game. The place went from, and I'm getting goosebumps now because it was nuts. Like, I was like, I think I had an out-of-body experience, because they showed him. He was sitting in his butt. Like, he had the suite, of course. He was in the stands, and I think he was outside with the fans or outside, because he was outdoors, and he was like, putting his finger down and saying, you can hear him, let's go, who's going to step up? And I kept reading his lips saying, step up, let's go. And he raised his arms, so the fans got up, the whole place rose up, and they showed that decibel meter. It was at 119, 120, dude. The whole place was like, you think it was a playoff game when we were undefeated, because it was like the place shook. And when they got him off the field on fourth down, I was like beside myself. Like, I think I knew I lost my voice, and I couldn't speak the rest of the day. I was gone. I'm like, it was, dude, that's what I live for. This is why I have season tickets and why you go. Because when he showed up on that Jumbotron and he said, let's go, and that place went up, I was like, it was nuts.
That's crazy stuff, man. So
yeah, man, it was electric.
Yeah. So speaking of other people that have, you know, doing stuff in the locker room, getting these guys motivated, did you hear that Dean Pease went down to the locker room at halftime and like laid into the defense, telling them, you know, they got to step it up and that they've got nothing to lose and that they're playing scared and they have to stop doing it? Do you think, you know, if this is true, I don't know what happened in the locker room, but do you think guys like Dean Pease have to do that now more often to kind of motivate these guys? Because
I do.
Yeah, like, well, no, like we said, like, the defense hasn't been playing well. This is one of the better games they've had, even though it wasn't great. But maybe they do need a kick in the pants from guys like Dean Pease.
Well, they do, because, and like I was saying, it was coaching. And, you know, he can't be sitting in that little box upstairs and just think everything's okay and, oh, my defense is sucking, I can coach him off from here. I think he needs to get out of that stupid box and he needs to be down on the sidelines getting these guys' faces. And, yeah, they're NFL players, but they need to be coached correctly. And I don't think it can be done up there any longer, and it's losing its touch. So, yeah, I heard about that. I was shocked to see that, because I was like, DPs did what? But, hey, it worked, because apparently from Ray Lewis's pregame speech to Dean Pease's halftime speech, it got through to somebody, because we ended up winning the football game, and we stepped up big time. It was a great atmosphere, a great win against the Chargers, puts the Chargers and Ravens tied in AFC at 2-6 respectively, ties us with last place with the Browns. And, you know, covering the losses, you know, really briefly, especially AFC North, we obviously know the Bengals and Steelers played each other. The Bengals leaked it out, but the Steelers are without Le'Veon Bell, man. Their top running back's out for the year with the MCL. So along with Steve Smith, Le'Veon Bell goes out. You have all kinds of crazy news in getting right to it. How about Vernon Davis being traded to the Broncos, man? That's dangerous.
That's definitely dangerous.
That's dangerous. And how about speaking of the implosion of the Niners, how about Kaepernick being benched this week, man?
On his birthday.
Yeah, I laughed. When I found that out, I even lost it even more. I'm like, yes, you got to be kidding me.
I mean, I don't like Kaepernick very much, but damn, on your birthday. I mean, that's
damn on your birthday.
That's gotta that hurt.
It's like, yeah, you suck. You're being benched for Blaine Gabbert. You gotta suck if you're being benched for Blaine Gabbert. And I did hear this week, Johnny Manziel will be starting for the Browns on Thursday night against the Bengals. So there's a lot of moves happening, a lot of injuries. Des Bryant came back for the Cowboys. There was a lot of injuries. Matt Forte got banged up, but Steve Smith's gone. And obviously the biggest news for the Ravens here. And around the NFL, it's taking shape where these injuries are being, you know, magnified and star players are going down, man. And everybody keeps asking, what's the rash of injuries? And I don't know if it's conditioning or maybe the NFL is trying to be too overly safe and players are getting hurt because of the rule changes and how they're approaching players now. I don't know.
That's what I think.
That's what I think, too. Yeah. I don't think it's conditioning or practices. I think it's really defense is trying to weigh their tackling. So it's like, okay, well, you can't hit them in the head, so I'm going to take out their knees. And then we pretty soon you're not going to be able to touch their body without being flagged. So
it'll be flag football pretty soon.
Yep, exactly. And it's getting sickening. But besides the point, you know, covering the NFL, you know, it's going to be an intriguing the home stretch. And the Ravens are on the bye week, so we can watch football all day on Sunday or, you know, whatever you want to go out and do, shopping Sunday, fun day, relax. We have no Ravens football on Thursday, Sunday, or Monday, but it's definitely going to be some interesting matchups to watch. I know I'm going to be relaxing. And speaking of motivation, you know, and wrapping up the show, I heard that Ray Lewis fell out of a bed watching some video. Did you hear?
Oh, I did hear that. So there's this guy on Twitter who dressed up as Ray Lewis on Halloween and did a motivational video for trick-or-treaters. You know, go and get that candy. So I found out this dude was his name's Andre Boyd, and he is from North Carolina, and he's actually an alum of North Carolina State. And you can check him out on Twitter at Andre Boyd 1981, AndreBoyd 1981. And I asked him, I said, hey, man, I know that you impersonated Ray on Halloween, and it was uncanny. I mean, I thought it was Ray at first. I really did. I thought it was Ray about, you know, 10 or so years ago. But I was like, hey, man, it's a bye week for the Ravens. What kind of inspirational words would Ray give to the Ravens to get ready for this bye week? And you know what? Luckily enough, this guy, Andre Boyd, you can follow him on Twitter at Andre Boyd 1981. He actually answered me back, and he gave us a little audio clip here. So everybody, check this out. Here is what would be Ray Lewis talking to the Ravens about how to enjoy this bye week.
My coach always told me, said, Ray, you can do anything you put your mind to. And if you put your heart to it, you can motivate anybody around you. Minicamp, you did that. Mandatory workouts, you did that. Mandatory meetings, you did that. Watching film till your eyes bleed, you did that. But now here comes the ultimate responsibility. Here comes the ultimate task. Here comes the decision that all champions gotta make. What am I gonna do in my bye week? I need you to dig deep. I need you to dig deep and find it within yourself. Find it within yourself. I want you to sit your butt on that couch and be lazy. Rest. I need you to rest. I need you to go to the golf course and just sit there. Don't even swing the club at nothing. Just look at other people. It's your time to take a load off. You earned this. Rest.
All right, everybody. I hope you enjoyed that little piece of
ice. Man, that was classic, man. When I first saw the video, I was like, man, I hope Ray Lewis sees this. And surely enough, they gave him some hard times on NFL Countdown on Monday night because they brought it up and he was cracking up. He said, you know, Ray Lewis mentioned he fell out of bed laughing. So I was like, that guy was spot on in his demeanor and how he approached it. And I had to give the guy kudos, man. I had to give the guy – he actually stole my – my outro for this week, man, and my Thunder. So I think he should rightfully deserve that spot.
Yeah, you know what? This guy's great. Andre Boyd, you can follow him on Twitter at AndreBoyd1981. Make sure you give him a follow. Tell him that the call sent you to him. You know what? He might be getting a call from a couple people because he was on the Ravens Twitter page, Facebook page, their website. He made it onto Monday Night Football. He made it onto ESPN. I mean, he was all over the place. Everybody loved it because he did such a great job with this impersonation. But thank you very much, Andre, for lending us your voice for the call this week. Really cool to have you a part of the show. And what a great job. Honestly, just great job being Ray Lewis. You watch the video, guys, on his Twitter page. Again, that's Andre Boyd, 1981. Just the way he looks. I mean, honestly, he's got the purple pads on. He looks like Ray. He sounds like Ray. Awesome. Great, great job. Great impersonation. But, Josh, it's about that time, man. Have we covered everything?
We covered it to the max, the halfway point of the season, my friend. Welcome to the bye week.
All right, very cool. So if you want to continue to talk Ravens football with Josh or I, all you got to do is tweet to us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. And Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
They can always tweet to me at ItalianGQ52 as always.
All right, very cool. So go over to Facebook.com/TheCallPodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you will be the first to know. We're also posting great photos, videos. I bet you saw that Andre Boyd video over on our Facebook page as well. Go over to Facebook.com/BrandoCash. Like Brando Cash Entertainment. You get information about this show, all the other shows that we produce here as well. And go to BrandoCash.com for all the information you're ever going to need about the call and what the puck and all the other stuff that we produce out there. Now, guys, we do this show for free. We make no money whatsoever, but you guys get to stream it. You get to download it. You get to listen to it for free as well on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, and Overcast. And, guys, I'm not going to spoil anything, but there might be a new way to listen to us pretty soon. Not going to say anything more than that, but keep your eyes and ears on our Facebook page and our podcast page as well. But that is it for the show this week. We need you guys to share the show, even though it is the bye week. Make sure you're still supporting the show. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit, anywhere you're social on the web. Say, I'm a Ravens fan. It's time for our bye week. We are resting up because that's what Andre Boyd told us to do. And we're listening to the call, and you should too. So that is pretty much it for the show this week, guys. This is going to be the only show this week due to the fact that it is a bye week. So enjoy your time away from the Ravens for a little bit. You know, stay tuned to our Facebook and Twitter pages. We'll be back next Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, whenever you guys download it, but we'll be recording again next Tuesday. But that's pretty much it for the show this week. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, thank you so much, man. And bye week it is. It's not going to be the caliber of, you know, our friend here, the Ray Lewis impersonator, he's awesome. I have to give it to him. He does it any better than anybody could other than Ray himself. But we're going to do it my style and my way on the call as always. Brandon, thank you very much. Thanks for all who make the call possible by listening and downloading us every week. Guys, we made it to the bye week. It's been a struggle all year. We've been through thick and thin. But again, like I said, we all were around our television sets. We were all down at the stadium tailgating and in the stadium strong. We rooted hard for our second win. It was hard earned. I tell you what, this bye week is going to really be a good rest for us to get rejuvenated and reflect on what we can do for the second half of the season to make the best Ravens football team possible and put the best product out in the field. And we just need to get healthy. We need to get the players playing the way they want to, coaching them up. And I think with this win, and they can really look at themselves and say, you know, who's to think Harbaugh and Tucker are crazy about saying, hey, we can win out and make the playoffs. Anything's possible. And Ray Lewis always preached no weapon. I say, hey, one game at a time, fellas, let's go. It just got to take it one game at a time. We have two straight home games coming off after the bye. We can do it. This team is ready. We've got the Jaguars in 2 weeks. I think this team's ready and primed and ready. Hey, who's to say we can't do it? I'd rather be the only team in the NFL to make the playoffs after 1-6, and that would be something to be very, very boastful and proud of. I don't care if we lost every season here on out, because it would be unprecedented. But let's start 1 week at a time. I know we can get ahead of ourselves getting excited about a Ravens win, but it's a win. It's a win, and it was great. It was great to see us in the atmosphere it was involved in. And guys, enjoy the bye week. Enjoy the rest. Enjoy the weekend. No Ravens football. That being said, Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high into the bye week.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.